This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
About a record psilocybin trial being, I guess, very successful, and that's on the way here tonight. Plus, DUI checks in all cars coming soon, according to the federal government, at least all new cars. I believe, if I recall the story correctly, it's after 2026, but we'll get into that. Chris, you have that story as well, so we'll talk about we'll talk a little bit about drugs on the way here tonight. Of course, we've been talking about money. And we were discussing Venezuela and how now the southeastern corner of Venezuela is starting to be flooded with gold flecks as people are illegally mining gold in Venezuela so they can use it on the streets as currency instead of using the insanely inflating, hyperinflating Bolivar currency where the government just knocked six zeros off of the Bolivar at the beginning of October. Now, here's the weirdest thing about this. For years, we have been following Venezuela's various different news coming out of Venezuela. And there has always been this website that I turn to, DolarToday.com. I always bring it up, always use it for an information source, because what they provide is a black market rate for the U.S. dollar. And what that means is, in Venezuela, the Bolivar has an official exchange rate. So the government sets the exchange rate at whatever it is. And then there's the real exchange rate that you actually get when you go on the streets and you offer somebody, you know, a dollar in exchange for Bolivar or Bolivar in exchange for dollars. What is that actual rate compared to the official rate? The weird thing is Bolivar or Dollar Today, even though they're posting news, like there's fresh stories on the site every single day, the numbers haven't changed since the beginning of October as far as the rate.
Maybe they've been compromised.
Something is really weird at Dollar Today because the last time the Venezuelan government knocked five zeros off was in 2018. So they knocked six zeros off last month. In 2018, they knocked five off. And within a month, I mean, those numbers were starting to run up. So, like, they keep on cranking the inflation. You know they haven't stopped inflating the money supply, so I don't know what's going on with Dollar Today, but it is no longer, I don't think it's accurate at the top of the site. So I don't know what's happened. I don't believe that they've stopped inflating their currency, so I just wanted to bring that up.
Has the U.S. hit hyperinflation, so the dollar's going right alongside the Boulevard.
That'd be crazy.
That could be, right? Oh, my God.
I mean, that seems like unlikely. But
yeah, I don't think we're in hyperinflation yet because you would see it at the grocery store, right? Like, if we were in hyperinflation,
right. You would know it.
You'd see $10 loaves of bread, and that's probably going to happen within a few years.
It's definitely, I mean, you can definitely go to the grocery store and see the prices have gone up.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean,
but you're still paying like $4 or $5 for a loaf of bread, or
just, you know, not at the same to the same degree.
You're not doubling every week,
right?
Not
exactly.
Doubling every week
as Venezuela, not yet.
But yeah, 5% here, 5% there, and it does add up. So I just wanted to mention that. And since we're talking about third world countries, I wanted to play this video of a government gang crushing dirt bikes. And have you guys ever seen these third world countries where they take things from people and then they just like lay them out in a field or, you know, in this dump or something, and they just destroy them?
No.
You ever seen this? So an example of this that I've seen before is like in Iran, for instance. It's illegal. Cuba is also like this. There's a few countries that are like this. There's a few of them in the Middle East. I think Iran's one. Cuba's another one I know for sure. But it's illegal to have a satellite dish. So your own personal satellite dish on your house, like we're used to it, right? Like everybody, you know, if you don't have cable or whatever, you might have a satellite dish. They're common. You see them as you're driving around. In places where they restrict the information, where, you know, freedom of speech does not exist, satellite television is a threat because well, anybody can be up on that satellite. They don't have, the government of that country doesn't have control over what that information is that's coming off of that satellite. It's not from their, it's not from their government, right? Like the government may have their own like government television channels, for instance, and they don't want you to have access to something else. So they will literally confiscate people's satellite dishes, and then I've seen footage of like bulldozers running over hundreds of confiscated satellite dishes.
You know, it's funny. I've seen this for Bitcoin mining rigs. Where they
really?
They, yeah. Like
what? Which country?
In China?
I'm trying to think what country it was. It was. It might have been China or something like that, but I'm not even 100% sure. I think there's been multiple countries. I don't think it's just been like one country, but there's been different countries that have done that with Bitcoin mining.
So here's a video from a more recent video where the same sort of thing is happening, except this is dirt bikes. So they've confiscated illegal dirt bikes, which is anything in this particular third world country. You're just not allowed to use dirt bikes at all.
So weird.
And so they've confiscated them and they've run them over with a heavy piece of equipment here. I just wanted to play this.
Anyone out there has an illegal dirt bike, don't even think about it, because the NYPD will find it and will crush it. These dirt bikes do not belong in New York City. It's against the law, period. Dirt bikes are dangerous. Hundreds of these dirt bikes have been confiscated. There's going to be more coming. And you know why? Because the community is helping us. There are some problems that are tough.
The community is helping. Oh, by the way, yeah, you probably heard this. It's New York City.
Yeah.
I was so shocked that you were talking about New York City for one thing, but I bet they have those stupid city scooters that people just go out and like cross a crosswalk with without even looking both ways.
Oh, the ones that are like sponsored by the banks and you have to pay and rent them.
Yeah, those rentable scooters in cities. Oh, I hate them.
Here's the next question. What's the difference between a dirt bike and a motorcycle?
Just a little smaller.
I don't know. Yeah, what
it's
is
really not?
I don't know if there is one. Like basically, and they're saying it's a threat, like or a danger. It's like, do you also outlaw motorcycles? I mean, this is so ridiculous.
I bet they don't.
No,
maybe the dirt bike manufacturers didn't pay their bribes to the city of New York. But there's only a few seconds left here, so let me continue.
To overcome, but there are other problems you can smash and you can crush, and this is one of them.
Yeah, he's really excited about this smashing and crushing. Now, just so you know,
he's a hero, Ian.
This was. I wanted to play this as a goodbye. This particular mayor is no longer in power in New York City, but that doesn't mean that this program won't be continuing.
Yeah, I was going to say the next guy is going to do the same thing as the last guy. Just know it.
Yeah, I mean they're prohibited.
It's New York City, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
New York City, everything, dirt bikes.
Everything is illegal in New York City, and if it's not illegal, they'll still ticket you for it, and then good luck fighting it because they won't let you.
I'm guessing dirt bikes are cheaper than a motorcycle, but I've never looked into it.
Right? I don't know.
It seems smaller.
Yeah, I guess
if only Matt was here, he would know.
He would. Now, maybe it's like the engine size, like the number of CCs or whatever the cylinders in the engine. I'm sure if you're out there and you know the difference, you can call us at 603-283-6160. I just thought that was an interesting.
But safety? I mean, he was very clear that it's a safety issue.
Yeah, are they
How
that much more dangerous?
How is it a safety issue, right?
Well, there's no doubt motorcycles are dangerous to
sure,
to
but
ride.
Relative to dirt bikes?
Can't be much of a difference.
Yeah, I mean,
there
come on.
Be. So it's all about the money. It's all about the, paying the government the bribes. And I'm sure they don't want people, easily getting around the streets, right? Because that's what having a bicycle or a dirt bike or whatever would allow you to do is, is there a traffic jam? Well, no worries. You can just go through the middle of the cars, right? Like, you can fit through there with something like a dirt bike. Maybe they're a little thinner than your average motorcycle.
It's so interesting because it's almost like you would think that they would, mandate, that type of bike as opposed to cars and take up more space and you can get less in.
And aren't the dirt bikes just way more efficient?
I don't know about,
because there's no weight.
And environmentally, but, certainly you can squeeze more dirt bikes than you could squeeze in cars.
When I lived in San Antonio, I was always thinking about this because everything's kind of a conspiracy in my mind. I was always in traffic jams, every single day, and I would think, is this something like, me and my friend would always talk on the phone while we drove separately, and we would always say, it looks weird, like this is purposeful, like why isn't that guy just going, you know, stuff like that. And I would start to think, do they purposely cause traffic jams because you're just less productive throughout the day, you get depressed, you're not making as much money?
It's just probably just government incompetence and their inability to manage anything successfully. Like central control and central management just is a failure, and that's what they do with the roads. They're centrally controlled and managed by the state. There's more coming up here. You can join us on...
It may feel like age is just a number, but the fact is, even if you're healthy and active, your immune system weakens as you get older. And if you're 65 or older, you're at an increased risk for potentially serious illnesses like pneumococcal pneumonia. One way to help protect yourself is to get immunized against vaccine-preventable diseases like pneumococcal pneumonia. Dr. Jorge Gomez shares more on behalf of the American Lung Association.
Pneumococcal pneumonia is a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. Adults 65 or older are over 10 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults 18 to 49. You may also be at increased risk if you have certain chronic health conditions such as asthma, diabetes, or heart disease. If you're 65 or older, vaccination can help prevent pneumococcal pneumonia.
This flu season, visit lung.org/pneumococcal and talk to your doctor or pharmacist about pneumococcal vaccination.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You can bring up what is on your mind. 203-683-6160. Joining you in the studio tonight, you've got Ian and Chris.
And Bonnie.
We were just talking about New York City, where they've got propaganda pieces out bragging about how it is that they are running over people's dirt bikes with basically heavy construction equipment. And there's like a 30-second video that was actually posted to the official mayor's channel on Twitter. So this is a video that's official, you know, by the New York City government bragging about how many bikes they've stolen and how they're going to destroy them. And our guest here in the studio pointed out during the break, like, why wouldn't they just sell them? Well, they want to show how tough they are, right? They're being tough on crime.
They should start putting out videos where they take people's weed and then just show their officers smoking it to destroy it.
Well, I guess they can't really do that in New York City, although it is decriminalized, from what I understand, in New York State.
Mm.
But anyway, there's other news out of New York City, and then we'll get into the psilocybin trial, Bonnie, that you wanted to tell us about coming up here. But since we're talking about New York City, there's a new guy that got elected. So this a-hole that we were just playing the audio of, Bill de Blasio, he's gone, apparently. He was the one that was, you know, lording over New York City during the COVID with all the crazy rules. And, of course, this new guy's not going to repeal any of that stuff. So don't expect that things are going to all of a sudden get free.
That's in New York City.
But the interesting thing about the new guy is, for all of whatever his problems might be, he's apparently a supporter of Bitcoin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And his opponent, actually, in the race, the Republican, so the Democrat guy won, of course, it's New York City, but the Republican guy was also in favor of Bitcoin. So,
wait, what?
Yeah, you actually had two Bitcoin advocates running for the mayoral seat in New York City.
Well, you know, now they can be pro-Bitcoin because it's now getting all taxed and everything.
Yeah, I mean, Bitcoin is definitely, you know, coming into its own, and unfortunately, that does mean it is legitimate or being legitimized, and so the more regulations, the more taxes, the more government guys feel comfortable with coming out that they're into it. And so, according to Cointelegraph.com's Brian Quarmby, reporting that the new mayor-elect Eric Adams is giving his blessing to what is being called New York City Coin. Quote, "We're glad to welcome you to the global home of Web3, said crypto-friendly Mayor-elect Eric Adams in response to Citicoin's rollout of NYC Coin this week. Now, Chris, what is Web3?
Comes after Web2? I have no idea.
Oh, you hadn't heard of Web3?
I don't know what this Web3. Is that... Like, I feel like it's a terminology that's been used, but I don't know that there's anything specific technologically speaking about it.
Yeah, I've heard the terms. I remember Web 2.0 came about when they were talking about how... The old explanation used to be that Web 2.0 was you would interact with the websites more. Like, you could post comments. That was like
Web 2.0. Content, I think, yeah.
When was that? Like, when were people talking about Web 2.0?
Yeah, like more than just over a decade ago.
There's already websites with comments. I don't get
that's true. I mean, that is definitely true. But that was sort of what defined what Web 2.0
was. It was more like dynamic content, I think. So, like, if you clicked on something, you didn't get a whole new web page. It was the same web page, and so it was dynamically loading content in the background.
So, according to Tim Berners-Lee, who has claimed to be the founder of the World Wide Web, Web 1.0 was the readable phase of the web. We see limited interactions between users. That was sort of described as, we, the websites, tell you, the viewer, what is important. Web 2.0 was the writable phase of the web, where users could interact with the site and with each other. So having comment sections was a very early version of Web 2.0, where instead of just reading the news story, the viewers of the site could then post a comment and talk to the other readers about the news story.
That's not my recollection of what Web 2.0 meant, but okay.
Okay. Well, that's my recollection of it, and that's what this story here...
Yeah.
I don't know who Tim Berners-Lee is, but this website here...
There's so many people
He's the guy behind the internet.
This is what he said, though.
Yeah. No, that's fine.
I was going to say, there's so many people that they credit with creating the internet. Lady Gaga's dad is one. I always see that. Like, Lady saw that Al Gore.
I mean, it's interesting. The internet is like a bunch of different things, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's like TCP/IP, and then there's like also, like the web, like as in a web browser, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then there's other protocols. So, sure. Like, this is.
Like library.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So.
And so Web 3.0, according to Berners-Lee, is the executable phase of the web. And here, computers can interpret information like humans to then generate personalized content for users. So I don't know exactly what that means.
So is that like getting an Instagram ad for a necklace that you saw somewhere else talked about?
All I'm thinking of is ActiveX right now.
ActiveX is what?
ActiveX. I don't know if you guys remember ActiveX.
Microsoft, right?
Yeah, it was a Microsoft thing back in the day with Internet Explorer, and there was content, and it's like, it's Web 3.0. That's what it sounds like he's almost saying. Like, it's
a retooling of that.
Yeah, it's like ActiveX 3.0. Like, it's the next version of ActiveX. And there is actually something sort of akin to, like, ActiveX. There's something called ASM, or Web ASM, and it's, like, basically, like, running applets in your browser or like Java kind of.
So it sounds to me like this New York City mayor elect Eric Adams is just throwing around buzzwords. It's like, Web 3, that's a thing. We're the new home of Web 3. Come on in, New York City Coin. It's set to launch this week. It actually kicked off apparently 2 days ago with the community-led proposal endorsed by the mayor-elect. The New York-focused cryptocurrency is being launched by Citicoins, the same firm that launched Miami Coin, like 2 months ago or something like that? Did you guys recall hearing anything about
Yeah, barely
Miami
heard
Coin?
About it and haven't heard any updates, really.
I think we covered it on the show, didn't we?
We definitely covered it. I didn't know if it was on our show or when.
Yeah, it was a Friday show, I believe.
The project uses the Stax protocol built atop the Bitcoin blockchain to enable smart contracts and issue its coins. Citicoins tweeted Tuesday that it was activating NYC coin mining this week after Adam stated last week on Thursday that he wanted to have a Citicoin for New York City like Miami. Adams followed that up on Monday by posting that, quote, "We're glad to welcome you to the global home of Web3. We're counting on tech and innovation to help drive our city forward." Because right now they're driving people out who care about freedom, at least. If you're still in New York City and you actually love freedom, you need to really start thinking hard about getting out to New Hampshire, where there's a great little tech corridor in Manchester and Nashua and Concord, from what I understand. Adams was elected as New York City's mayor in November and will take the reins at the start of 2022. The 61-year-old is a strong crypto proponent and has vowed to take his first three paychecks in Bitcoin and has advocated for crypto education to be taught in local schools. He said, quote, "We must open our schools to teach the technology, to teach this new way of thinking," he said on CNN recently.
Personally, if I lived in New York City, which is like a parallel universe that wouldn't happen, I would vote against him getting paid in Bitcoin because I don't want to pay the government in Bitcoin.
It's something that's actually worth something, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in order for him to get paid in Bitcoin, that would mean that the government of New York City would actually have to have their own cryptocurrency in hand.
I'm sure they've stolen some from somebody somewhere.
Good point. Yeah, they probably took some from some drug dealers or something like that. More coming up here. Or maybe the guys with the bikes, the dirt bikes, they stole their Bitcoin at the same time. 603-283-6160 is the number. More about this, you know, innovative mayor in New York City. What is this New York City coin all about anyways? Free Talk Live. Will this coin be coming to a city near you as well? We're coming up.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. According to AAA, the national average for a gallon of gasoline is just under $3.43 a gallon nationwide. Prices are up $1.30 since 2020, and all that being said, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says she has nothing new regarding what the Biden administration is going to do to lower the prices at the pump.
We're not just closely and directly monitoring the situation, which of course we've been doing, but we're looking at every tool in our arsenal. You mentioned some of them. Well, I don't have anything to preview today. The president is quite focused on this, as is the economic team.
After 13 years, pop icon Britney Spears is free from her conservatorship, a Los Angeles County judge ending the arrangement on Friday. Former Trump advisor Steve Bannon is expected to turn himself in Monday after being indicted by a federal grand jury for contempt of Congress. USA Radio News. President Biden's social spending bill is getting a once-over from the Chamber of Commerce.
The Chamber of Commerce has had a chance to peruse some of President Biden's social spending bill. Neil Bradley, the Chamber's chief policy officer, offered this. We have the highest inflation in 31 years. Employers are struggling to fill a record number of job openings, and the current draft uses gimmicks to cover up the spending. It's being reported the middle class will be hit the hardest for paying the bill on Biden's bill. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
A Travis Scott spokesperson is vowing the rapper had no clue people died at his Southeast Texas Music Festival.
Just like the police officers who were standing in front of the stage with Travis nearly 30 minutes after it was declared a public safety emergency, Travis had no idea what was going on.
Stephanie Rawlings-Blake telling CBS This Morning it took hours for the Houston rapper to find out about last Friday's deaths and injuries at Astroworld. USA Radio News.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Join us 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight, you've got Ian
and Chris
and Bonnie.
We're talking a little bit about cryptocurrency with the New York City coin in the news now. Miami coin came out a couple months ago, maybe like August, September range, and made some headlines. It's the first of its kind, the first city coin, and there's a group called citycoins.co that is minting these things, if you will. They're based on a system that I had never heard of called Stax, which is somehow using Bitcoin to add a special layer to it that allows Bitcoin to now, you know, have programming. Stax's website at stax.co says they can build apps and smart contracts on Bitcoin, which is not what Bitcoin was originally designed for. So they're somehow making, you know, adding this on top of.
Is
Bitcoin.
This like a Lightning Network thing? Like you can still use Bitcoin without it, but
yes.
This is another layer you could.
That's
use.
What I'm thinking it is, Bonnie. Without having done any serious research into it, that's what, you know, because this isn't native to Bitcoin. It's something they've added on top of it somehow.
Is this part of the update?
No. Okay. This has nothing to do with the update for Bitcoin, which is different. That's something else that's happening
Gotcha.
Besides that. But just to kind of tell you a little bit about these city coins here. So the New York City coin is the latest one. So Miami started. And now, of course, you know, New York doesn't want to get shown up. They want to be, you know, if they weren't first,
number one.
And so this new mayor, he's a proponent of cryptocurrency. His name is Eric Adams. And he's saying that he's going to take his first three paychecks in Bitcoin. Why just the first three? I don't know. If you're going to take three, why not, you know, take 300? Still, you know, interesting. He said that he wants to put it into the government schools as an educational curriculum. Now, according to Cointelegraph.com, in Miami, the city's commissioners voted to accept funds generated from Miami Coin. However, CityCoins noted that it has yet to officially partner with New York's government, despite the social media endorsement from Adams. According to the CityCoins website, quote, CityCoins like NYC Coin are grassroots initiatives. As communities grow around CityCoins, they can encourage their mayor to claim the reserve city treasury wallet and begin putting its funds to use. So this isn't an official program of the New York City government. This is something that some group called CityCoins just launched. And they want the New York City government's blessing, of course. So what they're doing is, and according to the site, I did look at it the other day, it's the plan is the miners of this city coin, which I'm not sure how they're mining this, if it's on Bitcoin, how do you specifically mine this, the stacks, the technology, you know, it has not connected with my understanding of how, you know, Bitcoin works at this point, but somehow you mine these the city coins into existence, and 70% of the mining rewards go to the miners, and 30% goes into a reserve wallet that is dedicated for the city government. And so then City Coins approaches the city government and says, hey, look, we've got this free money here for you. Would you like to accept it? And they try to get the government to sign on. So the Miami government has done this. It sounds like the mayor wants to do this. Now, he may need the approval of the city council or whatever, but it's basically money that is being poured into the coffers of these cities.
It just sounds disgusting to me. The idea of mining crypto, even just 30% of what you're mining for the government, no.
It's terrible.
Rather just, you know, partake in crypto that has nothing to do with the government, doesn't fund the government.
What's the value in this? Like, are people taking it or
You mean, can you spend it? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, I mean, why would I care about some non-coin, basically?
So the reason why you would care is, first of all, you'd have to be the opposite of Chris. So you'd have to be the Chris that stayed in New Jersey and loves the government and that the other universe of, you know, the opposite you of the Chris, the government lover Chris.
The status
So you're still just as technical, right? Like, you're still, you know, just as knowledgeable. You run your own computer business, right? Except you're evil Chris who loves the government.
You get excited every year to pay your taxes.
Yeah, you love the New Jersey government. You go up to New York City all the time because it's such a big government place.
If I wanted to give the government money so that we have more better schools roads and
this
things.
Is new revenue for the government.
Then you'd, you know, start some mining operation for New York City coins.
Somehow I would start taking City coin.
No. Whether you take it or not doesn't matter. You would just start mining it in order to give the government 30% of the mining rewards that they could then use to arrest people.
But then how do I
steal dirt bikes?
I still don't get it. Like, if I can't make money off it because it's only...
Well, you would get 70% of the mining rewards.
But 70% of something at zero is still zero.
Well, no, it's the Miami coin's worth like 2 cents right now.
Okay.
So it's worth more than a Dogecoin.
Okay.
Look, I don't know if anybody has actually started using this in any meaningful way.
Yeah.
I haven't done that much digging into Miami Coin, but a bunch of people did get into it as far as buying it and mining it and all that. And I forget what the revenue was from it, but the city's getting, you know, I think it's been a few million dollars worth of revenue from this so far.
I can understand this, this being something that might be, would be kind of cool and kind of works for I don't know, causes people would want to support, but I don't get it for a government.
That's because we can't understand why people like governments, but there are people they're out there. And there are people within the tech community that are government people. They love
sure,
the government.
Definitely.
And I don't understand it. Like, there's definitely a lot of libertarian tech people, but there's also another side of tech, and that is the obedient side, the side that, you know, worships the state. So this gives them something to get into. And this is something that could take off. Now, as I've said on this topic in the past, if a government actually were to say, we are now going to fund ourselves voluntarily by selling this coin, then I think this is an amazing idea, right? Like, if you could actually stop property taxes, if the city of Keene said tomorrow, all right, no more property taxes. We will collect all of our revenue by selling Keene coin. You know,
I mean, this is like sort of like a good thing, like in terms of at least they're not going to be pointing a gun at my head to get money out of me. But at the same time,
no,
I'm like,
they'll still do that. They're not lowering taxes. This is extra money on top of the current budget.
Oh, man.
So it is terrible, like, from a libertarian perspective.
Right. And then I'm thinking, like, okay, so now they're getting money. It's not even if it's not coming from my pocket, they're still going to be pointing a gun at my head to basically enforce some stupid law
or whatever,
right? They're
taking just as much money, just as much obedience, just as many dirt bikes. They're doing all of the things that they've been doing, and now they got more money coming in because of New York City coin.
Yeah, they do more of it.
So the funds, according to the group, can be used to support whatever initiatives the city deems fit. Miami Mayor Francis Suarez has stated the coin's funds will go towards crypto education, funding underprivileged communities, and programs to mitigate the risks of climate change. New York City coin users can mine the coin by forwarding STX tokens into the smart contract on Stacks to receive new city coins tokens, with again 70% of the mining reward going to the users who then lock up and or stack or stake their city coins, according to the story. So that's what you need to know. New York City coins now a thing. It started, I think, yesterday or the day before that. And City Coins is moving on to Austin, Texas next, according to their website. So they've got a plan here, and this is something that they're rolling out. I presume they're benefiting from this. You know, I don't know if they're, you know, they're early in on the mining or whatever. Obviously, they're getting some sort of revenue stream from going and pitching these things to cities. But if there actually were a city that promised that they would reduce their city budget by the amount that they got into this coin, I gotta say, I would support that. Because that would be a voluntary way of funding them.
I still think it's scary to give the government sound money.
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah.
You know, let's take away their ability to use violence, and then I'd be like all for what you're saying.
Right. Yeah, and plus you can't trust them, you know, as far as you
right,
control.
Right, exactly.
Say one thing one moment and say something else the next. The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Coming up, Bonnie's going to tell us about an epic psilocybin trial that has been the biggest one so far. We'll talk about it on the way, and you can bring up what's on your mind here on
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow.
Or moving slow.
And that most everything costs more these days.
Costs more these days.
But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. So this year, give the gift of pain relief, an extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order
order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamG'day.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamG'day.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamG'day.com with Longevity. TeamG'day.com.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. If you want to join us, you can. The number is 603-283-6160. 603-283-6160. In the studio with me tonight, you've got Ian and Chris.
And Bonnie.
Also, want to say thank you to Rick Hall. Rick is a silver amp. He's doing the new Amps Patreon that we launched, I don't know, like a month ago now, I think, at this point. So thank you, Rick, for coming on board and making the move over from our old amp program. We had to blow up our old website, and with that went the old amp system. So we just launched a Patreon to make it easy, since our credit card provider also blew up our account at the same time that we blew up the website, just by total coincidence. And so check out our Patreon over at amps.freetalklive.com. Rick is a silver amplifier, which means he's doing $5 a month. We definitely appreciate the support. It's amps.freetalklive.com that takes you right over to the Patreon. Now, actually, you asked a question during the break there, Bonnie, about, like, local currencies. Was there ever a local version of the dollar or something like that,
yeah,
right? And I came back with an example of something, because we've been talking about the New York City coin and the Miami coin, which are basically cryptocurrency. They appear to be tokens. It's not really clear to me exactly how they are piggybacking on the Bitcoin blockchain, but somehow they are. Through a group called Stax, or a technology or protocol or something called Stax. And so now you actually have a much more decentralized form of a city-based currency out there, with Miami coin being the first and New York City coin just starting this week. But back in the early 1990s, in 1991, the Ithaca Hour began. And neither of y'all had heard about this, right?
Mm-mm.
Ithaca Hour?
Oh, yeah, I've heard about it.
Yeah,
I definitely heard about
okay.
it.
Okay. So essentially what it was, and whether it still exists to any extent is hard to ascertain, because as I understand it, the founder has passed away at this point. But the guy who created this, you know, he was probably a lefty. You know, he wanted people to keep the money in the keep money in the community, right? And There's nothing inherently wrong with that idea, although that said, if I can get a better deal on something outside of the community, I'm not going to pay twice as much just, you know, for the convenience of going down the street. Right? So there's a certain level at which...
I would pay for convenience.
Would you pay twice as much?
Yeah, in certain circumstances, okay. I probably would. If I want a bottle of water on a hot day at a carnival,
I'm about like a significant
I ain't
going
to go to the grocery store today.
I'm talking about a significant purchase, right? Like, you're going to buy something big. You're going to pay
big item? Probably going to be a little bit more...
Like, if you could get it delivered to your door for half the price.
Yeah, probably.
So, like, it doesn't always make sense to buy local, but I can understand why people, you know, are interested in that. And there's, you know, nothing wrong with wanting to support your neighbors and all that. So he launched the thing called the Ithaca Hour, which basically was supposedly tied to an hour's worth of work. And he recruited local businesses to not only accept the Ithaca Hour, but also to offer their employees to be paid in the Ithaca Hour. And if I recall correctly, there was like a discount that you would get. If you went to local stores and you paid with the Ithaca Hour, you might get like 5 or 10% off or something like that.
But how come the government didn't come and destroy it like they did with the Liberty Dollar or whatever?
Because the Ithaca Hour was the U.S. dollar. It was just a reissuing of it, a localized version of it, essentially.
So he got the government to issue them?
No. He was literally printing them out.
But I don't get it. Then how is it the dollar?
Because it was backed by $10, essentially. The Ithaca Hour was worth $10 when you went to, like, I think he actually even had some of the local banks that were exchanging them for people. So you could go and get a, you know, $10 bill in exchange for the Ithaca Hour, as I understand the system. So that essentially did mean that it was the dollar, whereas the Liberty Dollar... It went down because they were alleging that the Liberty Dollar founder, and for listeners that don't know, the Liberty Dollar was a 1 ounce of silver. They actually had a physical product, but they also issued warehouse receipts, so you could have a piece of paper that entitled you to the 1 ounce of silver that was in a warehouse somewhere, basically. And the U.S. government didn't like that because it used the term dollar. Ithaca Hour didn't, right? It was just the Ithaca Hour. The U.S. government called the Liberty Dollar counterfeiting because it used, like, the Statue of Liberty. They called it a coin or, you know, whatever.
I mean, it just sounds so crazy, though, too, because it's like, okay, do Canadian dollars not exist? Do Australian dollars not exist? Like,
yeah.
Like, this idea that the dollar is somehow, like, can only be the U.S. dollar is just absurd.
It was absurd, and what they did to Bernard von Notthaus and the Liberty Dollar is absolutely terrible and awful, and we covered that in great detail in 2007 when that raid happened.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But ultimately, the Canadian dollar is a quote-unquote sovereign territory dollar, right? So they've got their own territory and they've got their own dominion, and so they can't stop you from using the Canadian dollar, obviously, but, you know, it's not going to really, you know, most stores aren't going to accept them
in
the United States. So the Ithaca Hour wasn't like a threat to the U.S. money system in the same way that the Liberty Dollar was. So that's why they went after the Liberty Dollar. That's why they hate Bitcoin, you know, because these are also actual threats to the U.S. dollar. Whereas the Ithaca Hour was like kind of like a come along. It was a complement, if you will, to the dollar. It exists alongside of the U.S. dollar and exists because of the U.S. dollar and is exchangeable for the U.S. dollar. So it ultimately wasn't a threat in any way, shape, or form because it was just another way for people to get paid in dollars. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So what happened, though, was they, according to the Wikipedia article, the Ithaca Hour notes can be found in recent years, though they have fallen into disuse because the founder of the system, Paul Glover, moved out of the area. Okay, so maybe he is still alive. He's just not there anymore. While in Ithaca, the man Glover had acted as an evangelist and a networker for the hours, helping spread their use and helping businesses find ways to spend the hours that they had received.
What's even this is what I guess has been in my subconscious, and I've just put my finger on what's annoying about this. What is even the benefit of using it, the cower, instead of a dollar? Like, with the crypto, obviously I see, oh yeah, you get out of the system. With gold, it's like, you have something that's actually worth something. What is the value of using an Ithaca Hour instead of a dollar, $10?
The idea was, and this is why it's sold in a lefty town like Ithaca, was you're helping keep the money in the community.
Mm.
So the idea was you can't spend Ithaca hours outside of Ithaca. No one's going to take them.
I guess you did say that, but my brain didn't find any value in that, so it just like... In one ear and not the other.
So you would only be able to, you know, you wouldn't be able to use them at Walmart, but you'd be able to use them at some local store in downtown Ithaca, for instance. Now, whether you can still do that is a whole other question, but there's some real problems with this system. Number one, they're tied to the dollar. So as the dollar is inflated, the Ithaca hour also becomes worth less and less. And secondly, there was like a real kind of janky system that these hours-based currencies would set up. So it wasn't just Ithaca. After a while, other towns in other parts of the country would start up similar things. So there was, I think the Mountain Hours were in Colorado somewhere. I forget which town. Then there was the Berkshires, which was in the Berkshire Mountain area in western Massachusetts. So these are two that I'm aware of. There's probably more. But these people were just basically like printing these things out. And then they would issue them to local businesses who would, like, oh, are you willing to start accepting the Ithaca hour? Well, great. We'll give you 3 of them per month or 6 per month or something like that just because you've signed on to this system. So, whether that was counterfeiting or not, I don't know. It was definitely, like, and maybe I don't have all the details down, but it sounded to me like these people were just, like, acting like a little mini central bank and just kind of printing up their own currency. Now, in theory, they were backed by a $10 bill, but were they?
Maybe they were doing legal things. Like, it was weird to me that the founder of Ithaca Hour moved out of Ithaca. Maybe he had to, you know,
he was on
the felt
run.
The heat, and he had to get out.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how long you think it's going.
It's kind of interesting because it's sort of like you don't necessarily have to have one-to-one backing. Mm-hmm. And if you want to, you know, kind of print your own money, as long
you just
as you
have enough to satisfy
the
orders.
Right. If somebody wants to turn in their fake currency, so to speak, or whatever, their own fiat currency, you just have to have enough dollars in your account to cover whatever the demand is for a turnover.
Yeah.
And then you can, you know, you're effectively devaluing. If people actually knew that there wasn't enough.
That's right. That they would
U.S. dollars to cover your own fake currency, kind of.
So if the issuer was honest, then it's fine.
Right.
Then you're just losing as the dollar inflates. But if the issuer was not honest, then.
People still accept U.S. dollars and they're printing them. So I don't know. This might not be such a bad thing.
Yeah. It's old money at this point. It's an old concept. Now that we have cryptocurrencies, these things are going to go by the wayside if they still exist in any shape or form. But that's, it's kind of interesting history. The number here is 603-283-6160. If you've ever used one of these hours currencies, you want to weigh in, you can join us. Coming up, we'll talk about drugs with the psilocybin trial.
It may feel like age is just a number, but the fact is, even if you're healthy and active, your immune system weakens as you get older. And if you're 65 or older, you're at an increased risk for potentially serious illnesses like pneumococcal pneumonia. One way to help protect yourself is to get immunized against vaccine-preventable diseases like pneumococcal pneumonia. Dr. Jorge Gomez shares more on behalf of the American Lung Association.
Pneumococcal pneumonia is a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. Adults 65 or older are over 10 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults 18 to 49. You may also be at increased risk if you have certain chronic health conditions such as asthma, diabetes, or heart disease. If you're 65 or older, vaccination can help prevent pneumococcal pneumonia.
This flu season, visit lung.org/pneumococcal and talk to your doctor or pharmacist about pneumococcal vaccination.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.